It's hard to overstate how much moving to SaaS changes the business of an established ISV. At first, adopting SaaS was like a technology change. You're now creating shared software that runs in an external data center rather than software that runs in each customer's data center. In fact, this technology change has far-reaching effects on your company. All kinds of things can change, including which customers you target, how your products are priced, and even how you track revenue. Let's start with customers. A SaaS application might let you reach customers in your target market more effectively. For example, CRM applications are a good fit for the cloud. Given the choice, many customers prefer SaaS, and so an ISV selling an on-premises CRM app might begin offering a SaaS version as well. Microsoft has done this, for example, adding Dynamics CRM Online to its existing on-premises CRM offering. You might also choose to create a SaaS application to reach customers in new target markets. For example, SaaS applications often have a lower initial price than on-premises apps. This can let an ISV use a SaaS version of an existing application to go after more price-sensitive customers. Doing this well is challenging. A cheaper SaaS option might cannibalize the market for your existing on-premises product, but it can still be worth doing. The truth is that this option might be forced on you anyway by some upstart SaaS competitor. It probably makes sense to eat your own lunch before somebody else eats it for you. Alternatively, an established firm might use SaaS to enter an entirely new business. In this case, your target customers are in a wholly different market from the one you normally address. Google Apps is a clear example of this, with Google using SaaS to attack Microsoft's established position in email and desktop productivity software. Whatever path you take, the key point is that adopting SaaS can let you change which customers you target. And so it's important to be clear about the market you're going after. Whatever customers you target, you're likely to price a SaaS offering differently than an on-premises product. There are many variations, but pricing for SaaS applications most often breaks down into three options. Subscription, such as charging per user per month. Per unit, such as charging per transaction or per gigabyte of storage. And free. The options for free include freemium, where the base product is offered at no cost and only premium features carry a charge, and ad-supported. Different kinds of SaaS applications in different markets lend themselves to different choices. Some applications even combine two or three of these pricing options. Still, the most popular choice today by a wide margin is some kind of subscription-based pricing, typically per user per month. With this approach, it's common to give customers a discount for paying in advance, say, offering 12 months of access to your SaaS application for an upfront payment of only 11 months. Users often appreciate this. Everyone likes a discount. And it helps lower churn since the customer is more committed to your offering. Advanced payments can also improve a SaaS provider's cash flow and help grow revenue more quickly. In fact, it's worth looking more closely at the differences in how on-premises and SaaS applications accrue revenue over time. With a traditional on-premises application, revenue is initially negative. You're spending money building the app. Once it's ready, though, a new application can start bringing in substantial amounts of revenue right away, since you're selling licenses. Of course, these sales can fall off abruptly. Suppose there is a global financial crisis, for instance, then pick up just as fast. With traditional licenses, the revenue curve can be quite bumpy, as this example shows. With a SaaS application, you'll typically spend more initially, especially for the first SaaS application you create. You're learning how to work in this new way. And you've also got to pay to run the application while customers are being acquired, which further increases your initial investment. Once it's available, a SaaS application commonly has slower but smoother revenue growth. If there is a financial crisis, for instance, subscription revenue from the SaaS application can remain stable. Sales of new subscriptions might stop, but revenue from the existing ones keeps on coming in. An unavoidable consequence of this slower revenue growth is that the SaaS application takes longer to break even. Over time, though, a SaaS application has the potential for more long-term revenue than an on-premises app. The money just comes in more slowly. Another change that typical SaaS pricing brings is in how you track revenue. With traditional packaged software, it's common to measure success by tracking how many licenses are sold. Since SaaS applications aren't usually priced this way, you need another metric. One common choice is to track monthly recurring revenue. MRR consists of all recurring revenue in a month, not including any one-time fees or services. For example, MRR for a SaaS application sold as per-user, per-month subscriptions would include all subscription revenue for that month. Non-recurring revenue, like a charge for customization, isn't counted. Adopting SaaS is much more than a technology change. To be successful with this approach, you need to understand how it can change which customers you go after and how you price your product. You also need to think about what happens to the way your firm measures revenue and how fast that revenue arrives. It is certainly possible to make plenty of money with SaaS. To do this, though, you must adapt to the realities of the SaaS business model. There is no alternative.